It began with a game of football. On the 27th of October 2005, a dozen teenagers in the Parisian suburb of Clichy-sous-Bois were kicking a ball around when the police approached. Running from the police, 17-year-old Zaid Benna and his 15-year-old friend Bruna Traoré climbed into an electrical substation and were electrocuted. Their death sparked 3 weeks of riots that tore across France and ignited a debate that could have severe repercussions for freedom of speech and for French rap music.
Confirme son discours de fermeté mais annonce des mesures à long terme pour les banlieues.
French President Jacques Chirac has called for calm after a sixth night of rioting in Paris.
Northeastern suburbs of Paris is still tense and defiant. France's political leaders now fear an eighth night of rioting.
Really shot at officers. This is real serious violence. Very violent.
Last night it came to a head with rioters firing shots at officers, injuring dozens and leaving two seriously hurt.
2 days before the riots began, French Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy made headlines by declaring he would cleanse Paris's ghettos of scum with a power washer. He inflamed the riots further when he denied police involvement in the boys' death and pledged zero tolerance to the rioters.
Ever since Sarkozy has been in office, we felt that things would explode. It was the death of two kids that started it off, but we already knew that it would explode one day from things he said before they died. That was the cherry on the cake, as we say.
Barrault lives in the banlieues, the Paris suburbs, and he witnessed the riots.
There was the army, the police, helicopters. There were at least 40 buses of riot police, if not more. There were gangs everywhere. It was war. Just cars on fire. Hundreds and hundreds of cars. Molotov cocktails, people throwing things out of windows. And of course, there was fear. When you see your son throwing stones or getting caught by the police, it's normal to be scared.
Nearly 3 weeks later, and 9,000 cars had been torched, close to 3,000 arrested, and more than 125 police injured. The riots even spilled outside of France to seven other European countries and the Caribbean. The politicians' response was swift. In December, François Grosdidier, from President Chirac's ruling UMP party, filed a petition signed by 200 French MPs to bring legal action against seven rap acts for inflammatory lyrics. François Grosdidier.
We're 200 MPs, 150 deputies and 50 senators who on my initiative took a case before the Minister of Justice to ask him to take action against some rap groups who in their lyrics express the most brutal racism against white people, which are not only an incitement to racial hatred, but also an incitement to violence of the most explicit kind. Their lyrics are of exactly the same type of racism as that expressed by the extreme right and seem to us just as reprehensible.
Rap artists Ministère Amer, Smaller, Son 13, Lunatique, Fab, Salif and Monsieur R will be investigated for anti-white racism and hatred of France. But how can this be happening in France, a country whose very motto is liberté, égalité and fraternité? How did rap take the blame for the French riots?
The first rap groups in France appear in the early 80s, but it really starts on a large basis in 1990 when there's a compilation called Rap Attitude.
Olivier Cachin is a writer and journalist who has documented the rise of French rap from the very beginning.
As soon as it started to be rapped in French with French topics, not speaking about the Bronx or Manhattan or whatever, but about what's happening here, then it turns into something really original, articulate, and that in a couple of months becomes a real commercial potential.
Artists such as MC Solar, NTM and EIM had some success, but it wasn't until France's first national hip-hop station arrived that the scene exploded.
When in 1996 Skyrock Radio changes its format, to say it shortly, from REM to NTM, from FM rock to rap and French rap at that. From that point on, it becomes a national movement, heard and appreciated everywhere in France. And as soon as Skyrock, which is national radio, decides to play heavily French rap, then you have like nearly instantly gold records for all the top artists. All these groups have massive exposure thanks to Skyrock. And then what was a cultural movement important, but not really, apart from a couple of groups, a commercial thing, becomes instantly like the music of a generation.
Skyrock program director Laurent Bounou.
Now we start to be hip-hop in 1996. And so we develop the French scene, and we are the engine of the French scene.
And the music also benefited from France's quota system. Legislation was introduced in 1994 to protect the French language, obliging all radio stations to play at least 40% French music.
From my point of view, a popular radio station brings French lyrics. When you want to be popular in France, you have to play French music. You have to know that French is the second world market for hip-hop, but the American scene has difficulty here because they compete French rap, and French rap sells more. The French rap, they understand. The French rap speaks about their life, and people understand.
Ironically, it was the politicians themselves that helped create the huge French rap scene. They couldn't have predicted, though, what shape that scene would take. Olivier Cachin.
The big difference between American rap and French rap, mostly American rap now, is more, is more commercial in the sense that if rap exists still now in America, it's not because, you know, people think that it's a minority that should be helped or this type of thing. It's because it makes money. You look at the charts, you look at the top 10 in America. Out of 10 artists, you'll have 6 that will be more or less in the hip-hop universe. In France, it's a different attitude. Probably because France is a more romantic country. There still is this idea that we are the journalists of the ghetto, we want to report what's happening, we are speaking about what the cops are doing, the difficulty to have a job, to be accepted in society. I mean, things that are very basic, but the French rappers feel that they have a need to report on.
And the journalists of the ghetto chronicled the social realities they lived in. Equay from rap group La Rumeur.
Effectively in France, and contrary to its image internationally as a country for the rights of man and the values of enlightenment, there's a real everyday discrimination. The police have a complete impunity here. For example, a kid goes into a police station for something small and comes out losing an eye or an ear, or getting raped. These kids from minorities go into prison for something small and come out with serious injury. And the cops get away with it. France has even been singled out by its Human Rights Commission for the state of its prisons and for what happens to people when they're arrested.
Englishman Mark Gore runs a community project in the Paris banlieue.
French police have a much easier time than British police in terms of what they can actually do in the streets. So they can stop you very easily. And you'll talk to any number of the staff that I have here who are either black or of Arab origin. If I count the number of times I've been stopped, in 15 years I've been in France, probably I can count them on the finger of one hand. They'll be counting on the fingers of one hand in a month. And that's not a joke. That's the reality of the situation.
The banlieue in Paris are sprawling, broken, sinister places. Huge high-rise housing projects built to house a wave of immigrant workers after France's colonies in Africa gained independence in the 1960s. 40 years on, and it's hard to convey the desperate state of the banlieue today. Diro is from rap collective Nemesis, who promote rap as a means of expression for kids in the banlieue.
On est là pour la BBC, pour retranscrire un petit peu.
We're here for the BBC to describe a little more about our area, to refute a little bit of the images you saw in the UK, and show you the real truth, and show you what we go through in this area. Where it's hard and where there are no lifts, where there are no glass in the windows, in the halls, where there are no letterboxes, there are no car parks.
Y a pas de parking, bah comme vous pouvez le constater, les journalistes avec nous sont là pour le constater.
Here we are in front of a building where the ground floor has been burnt out. It's a bit of a mess, but people still manage to live here. This is their everyday life. We are in an area of towers, surrounded by towers, in an estate called La Forestière. It's the shit that the state left us. This is the most dilapidated place in the Paris region. Right here, you won't find more run down than La Forestière. We have nothing. I'd like to be able to describe something positive to you, but there's nothing. There's nothing positive to describe. The French government has pretty much deserted these people and doesn't care at all about what happens to our youth.
I'm Adele Cross, and you're listening to Straight Outta Clichy on One Extra. It took French authorities a few years to realise just what the rappers were rapping about. But when they did, they had a bit of a shock. Olivier Cachin.
The group Ministère Amer. In their first album, they had a tune called Brigitte, Femme de Flic, meaning Brigitte, the wife of a cop, which was a very, very hardcore tune, speaking about a person who apparently existed and still exists, who's the wife of a French police officer. The tune is very funny, very offensive, and so the police learns the existence of this track, and they want to prosecute. But the only problem is that there is a law in France which says that you can't prosecute after 6 months of the book or the film or the record has been released. So when they tried to prosecute, it was like 7 or 8 months, so it was like, no, sorry, too late.
The police had to wait another year till they could prosecute Ministère Amer for another song, Sacrifice de Poulet.
In France, chicken, poulet, is the slang term for a policeman. So to sacrifice a chicken is a ritual act, you know, African act, or that you have in different cultures. And at the same time, it means kill the policeman.
The lyrics read, "As for me, I've got every bad ethnic characteristic. Disagreeable, sadistic, allergic to the fuzz. Even in a crowd, I wear my cagoule with a hood. The youngest ones listen to me. In the school, on the street, I am teacher. First lesson, how to throw a Molotov cocktail without making propaganda. Abdullah is asking us for the most beautiful of offerings. The message is passed on. I must sacrifice a cop." There have been nearly 20 prosecutions brought against rappers in the past decade. In June last year, the Rouen courts threw out charges against a band called Sniper for racist and anti-Semitic language in their song La France. The lyrics read, "We're all hot for a mission to exterminate the government and the fascists. France is a b**ch and we've been betrayed. We f*** France. We don't care about the Republic and freedom of speech. We should change the law so we can see Arabs and blacks in power in Palais de l'Elysée. Things have to explode." Olivier Cachin testified for the defence at the trial.
It's art, no? It's a brutal art, okay? It's an art that doesn't please the ears of everybody who listens. Yeah, sure, but who says everybody got to be nice? You don't have to be nice, you know, to be valid as an artist.
Not everyone shares the same views. Here's François Roudidier.
It's not at all honest of these rappers to say, yes, our lyrics are violent, but you don't have to do what we say. It reminds me of Jean-Marie Le Pen. That's exactly what he said of what happened at the time of the National Front March a few years ago, when a group of skinheads threw a young man in the Seine just because he was black. No, in the act of crime, there's also the responsibility of those who incite you to commit the crime.
Laurent Bounot from Skyrock Radio.
We are in democracy, so all the opinion has to be taken in account, even if I'm not agree with the opinions. Of course, for me, we have to hear all the opinions. The rapper, like everyone in France, are not above the law.
French rap has long dwelt on the same themes of hopelessness, rejection by France, police harassment and rage. But it took the events of October 2005 to make politicians sit up and take notice.
President Chirac has gone on television to address the nation for the first time.
I say to the children of the troubled areas, whatever their origins, that they are all sons and daughters of the Republic.
In November, in his first major speech since rioting began, President Jacques Chirac condemned the poison of racism and he pledged to create opportunities for young people in an effort to prevent any resurgence of urban violence. Olivier Cachin.
You can have 20 years of French rap shouting their rage and saying what's wrong. They don't give a damn. It takes Carl burning. And that's very sad, but that's, fortunately, that's the reality that has been shown.
But inevitably, the French government's search for those guilty of stirring things up in the suburbs would lead them to rap music. François Grodidier's campaign against rap began when he heard a song by controversial rapper Monsieur R. In his track, France, Monsieur R raps, "France is a don't forget to till you completely squeeze her. Bro, you need to treat her like and I on Napoleon and General de Gaulle." Grodidier was not happy.
By chance, my son one day brought me this song by Monsieur R, and we looked up the lyrics on the internet. I looked at more, and I asked youngsters from my constituency what they listened to on their MP3 players. I discovered a lot worse, songs that were brutally sexist, so much so that one cannot be surprised that these young men go out and gang rape. And songs of the most brutal racism, which can explain some of the events that we have seen. The responsibility of the government is to ensure that people live together and to prevent anybody from pitting them against each other. You may say that these are just singers, but racist lyrics are not any more acceptable because they're sung than if they were written or spoken.
Hip-hop artist Dernier Pro.
Je pense que c'est quelqu'un de dangereux.
Grosidia is a dangerous man. Instead of listening to what's going on and trying to find a solution, they're just trying to find someone to blame, so they blame the rappers. So not only does he not have a clue, he's very, very dangerous.
I'm Adele Cross, and you're listening to Straight Outta Cliché on One Extra. Bizarrely, of the seven rap artists naming Grosidia's petition, only two are still performing. Ministère Amer split up as long ago as 1995. But the call for prosecution of the rappers reflects a growing climate of intolerance that has gripped France's ruling UMP coalition. Since October, the Conservatives, led by Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy, the very same man who declared he would clean the ghettos of scum, have targeted polygamy, clandestine immigration, mixed marriages, history lessons on French colonialism, and now rap music as inciting the riots. Amir from La Rumeur.
It's an expression of weakness on behalf of the French politicians that they overreact so much to this. Their reaction is basically racist. They accuse people of having too many kids and not being able to look after them, and then letting them run into the streets and burn cars. It's all very simple, backward, racist ideas. They don't know what to do, they don't know how to handle it, so they're looking for a scapegoat. Rap is a part of that because it's associated with black culture. It's a way of them saying, these kids are listening to rap music, and look what it's done to them. It makes them go out and burn cars.
But the riots only seem to have strengthened the political right. Nicolas Sarkozy is running for president in 2007, and even far-right politician Jean-Marie Le Pen has seized the chance to reappear. None of which is good news for rap music.
The current wave of unrest has given Mr. Le Pen the platform that perhaps he's needed since 2002. The riots, he said at the weekend, were the result of massive uncontrolled immigration from the Third World, a message he repeated at a rally in Paris tonight. They're shouting Le Pen for president, the same chant that was heard 3.5 years ago when their leader reached the final runoff for France's top job.
There are a few Dernier Pro.
I
think if Sarkozy was elected president, it would be dangerous for France. His politics, in my opinion, they veer very much towards the extreme right. It's a very dangerous thing, and I hope the kids in the suburbs, they'll be mobilised to go out and vote.
Dernier Pro has recorded a song in response to riots called Radio Propaganda, in which rappers debate where to go from here. The track preaches a message of listening and consolidation, saying, think before you act. Don't chuck away your maturity. Control your deeds and your words, but don't stay there without doing something. You have rights, choices, concessions to make in all three cases. It won't always be a small matter. In response to Sarkozy's comments about cleaning the banlieue with a power washer, they say, our walls are dirty, OK, but is the power washer really useful? Daniel Proulx.
As rappers, we won't ignore this kind of thing, and it's important for rappers to talk about this kind of thing and to express themselves and to say that maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, you know, to go out and burn the cars and to have debate about it. Now, this is a way of saying we're open to debate, but now the ball's in their court and they have to do something about it. I don't know if music can change anything directly, but it encourages people to think and to have ideas. We come along with our own ideas, and hopefully that will encourage people to think a little bit more. And that's how change comes about. It's a first step.
Whatever happens, French rappers will carry on stoking the fires of debate. Only now, maybe people will begin to listen to what they're saying. Olivier Cachat.
Normally, you would say that the good thing would be to have commercial success. At the same time, is commercial success the best way to keep a line of speech that is militant, that is hardcore, that is without concession? It's not so sure. The story of rap is linked to this idea of speaking about the dark side of the French world, the French culture. So there, in my opinion, there will always be this hardcore of anger and this need to shout things that are, again, not nice for all the years, but that need to be said.
La rumeur.
Obviously, our job as artists is to show things up and show the other side of things. There's something still burning in the embers of the riots, and we're going to keep blowing on these embers. If you're sitting in a nice hotel, and you're upstairs having dinner and champagne, and you start to smell the gutter coming through, then that's what we're doing. We're making people feel what the people in the banlieue feel. So although we're considered to be part of the problem, we're the only place to go to find the solution.